day, good night, and welcome to the Sports Podcasting Network Breaking News Audio. I'm Kevin Laramie, joined by Dwayne Rollins, as always. Dwayne, we just finished watching the question and answer portion, but also the press conference before. It is official. Ottawa joins the Canadian Premier League. Atletico Ottawa is born today.
Precisely, yeah. The worst kept secret in Canadian soccer for the last week or so, that Ottawa wasn't a secret anymore, that we knew Ottawa was in. They were trying to keep it a secret what the name was, but, you know, when Jeff Hunt said it, and then, you know, Andy Petrillo said it on the broadcast, in the Canadian broadcast, and then they said it was Atletico Ottawa, which I actually first reported for, you know, scratching my own back purposes, or patting my own back, I should say. But nonetheless, it's not a big complicated thing when Atletico Madrid comes in and buys these teams. They put their label on it. That's their strategy. They said it right in the press conference today. Obviously, that was going to be the case, and we had it confirmed. But the important message, of course, is simply this. This team remains in Ottawa. The Fury were only mentioned once. It was a positive mention, but only once nonetheless. A lot of talk about how there's finally players from the KMPL commissioner, finally players for young guys, people to look up to. And I'm thinking, well, there always has been, but now there's KMPL players to look up to. So that's a positive all in all.
Yeah, it is a positive all in all. And we'll see which players are going to join the team soon. But we do know one thing, though. We know who is going to be the manager, on top of having a crest, which I have to say, Dwayne, if you look, the crest does look pretty damn good. And it is a landmark, of course. This is the Parliament. And you have Atletico Ottawa, the branding, and the red and white stripe, of course, of Atletico Madrid, with the Canadian maple leaf in the bottom. It is Canadian, it is Ottawa, but it is also Atletico. It is a nice logo, but Mista will be the first manager of the Ottawa Atletico team.
Yeah, Mista, for those that don't recall, there are newer people that did not watch his half season of play with TFC. Was a TP for TFC back in the dark ages. So that was 2011, I think. 12, I don't know. I'd have to look it up off the top of my head. It hardly matters. It was the very end of his career. He did not do anything here. He did not score a single goal in league play. He scored one goal against Cruz Azul in a friendly. Other than that, he was basically a forgettable DP signing, but it was at the end of his time. I never would have, if you'd asked me then, I would have been pretty shocked to know that he was coming back to coach an Ottawa team in a Canadian Premier League. I would have told you that you were crazy, because you would have been at that time if you'd suggested something as ludicrous as that. But I think the reason they've hired Mista is he's actually been working for several years now with youth players in Spain. He is a former Atletico Madrid player, so he mentioned in the press conference that he was very proud to be back in the family of Atletico Madrid. I felt honored to be put in charge of such an important project for them. I think that they're viewing this as an opportunity to bring one of their old boys back into the fold in a capacity where they're going to have an opportunity to grow. He's only 41, which of course is very young for a manager. That I think is going to be good, though. Ultimately, as much as TFC fans or MLS fans may laugh at Mista as a DP, and it didn't work out, there's no doubt about it, this is a guy that represented Spain. Not much, but did, played for the best teams in La Liga and was a very good player during his time. And that's a benefit, because this guy, who was a world-class player at his peak, you know, it's a very liberal definition of that. He was a very strong professional player at any rate, is going to be coaching Canadian kids. And that's, I think, how you look at this. He'll also probably be coaching some Spanish kids, because it makes sense that they'll probably have a few of those around too.
There should be a few, like, under 20 young Spanish kid, I believe, from Madrid's academy. I do expect it to be the case. But what have we learned also today is that no players officially signed today, at least not publicly. And we might have that soon, according to David Klanikan. He did mention in the Q&A part that it was a question by Theo Gauthier, which, hello, Theo. So Theo Gauthier asked if any players, and if players from the region maybe would come back. Of course, we have names from players from the formerly of the Ottawa Fury that are still available, the Maxim Tissot's of this world. But Theo's question was, can we expect players? Like, well, you got a coach now. So it might become very, very quickly. you might have some players signed for Atletico Ottawa. Of course, nothing that we haven't really learned before. Jeff Hunt is the partner, but Atletico Ottawa is the biggest thing here. Is Atletico Madrid, I mean, the biggest owner, biggest probably funds, the biggest money involved also in this. And he was asked, Miguel Angel de Marin, he was asked, that's a CEO of Atletico Madrid, which, by the way, the fact that Atletico Madrid CEO was there, the fact that the ambassador to Spain and Canada was there, it was kind of, plus Jeff Watson, the mayor, I thought it was pretty cool. It was a good press conference. But when he reacted, why Canada? Then why not? Like, have a dream. Same dream as David Klenick and the commissioner. Like, why not? Maybe in the future it takes over hockey. Exactly. Why not? Why not us? Why not now? And your buck goes a long way in Canada if you're looking at the amount of money invested by Atletico. And not only the money, but also the infrastructure. And it's another ways for them to get players playing. And the money invested for that compared to what it would cost, example, to start a Division II team in Spain, which would be probably 10 times the amount of money invested in Canadian Premier League. So no, you do see the reasoning behind why a team and a brand like Atletico would love to, what it is involved now in Canadian soccer.
I think, as I said, when this was first announced, that Atleti's branding strategy, that they are what I would call an emerging team on the cusp of, David Clanahan said they were a top 10 team in the world. I think that might be a little marketing spin there, but they're probably a top 20 team in the world. And they're a team that's sort of knocking on the outside, looking to try and grasp up to the truly elite, and you know, particularly across their own town, right? So they don't quite have the same push or pizzazz as a Real Madrid, for instance, or Barcelona, or, you know, even clubs that are more historic but not as successful right now, like Manchester United. That was a little bit of a dish there, but that's fine. At any rate,
you had to plug a little dish to Man United whenever you can.
Yeah, precisely. Trust me, I waited a long time for it. They nonetheless are looking to get into markets that are affordable and accessible for them, and offer a clean slate for them too. They probably like the fact that Canada is basically, not outside of the three major cities in Canada, the country, with all due respect to listeners from other parts of the country, there's just not enough of you. They do have a clean slate there. They are coming in kind of new. They're coming in the same point that, you know, sort of the MLS cities were a decade or so ago, and that's better for a team like Atletico, because these fans aren't entrenched in their European teams yet. So they probably can convert some Ottawa fans into Atleti fans. You know, I've heard a couple of mentions of travel to and come to Madrid and visit and things like that. Wouldn't shock me if the, you know, the Spanish Tourism Association is this club kit sponsors, if there are some kind of, you know, packages offered to season ticket holders to go and see Atletico Madrid in Madrid. I mean, why not? It makes perfect sense. It's perfect synergy, and it's an opportunity to generate and get your brand out and get more fans ultimately, because, you know, this is the new reality of the super teams in the world. And as I said, Atletico Madrid may not be a top 10 team, but a top 20 team even, or top 30, 50, hell, they all need to got to chase all the money they can get wherever they can get it. And this is another opportunity. I was looking, Kevin, at the reaction amongst Spanish Atleti fans, which, you know, it's hard to find, but, you know, one sort of very surface way to do it was to look under the tweet where at Atleti, the actual Spanish language Atletico Madrid account, posted the welcome, you know, welcome to the family is what the tweet said in Spanish. And well, as the kids said, the ratio wasn't very good, as kids say today. And the ratio was not very positive towards the idea that they were adding to the team. They were mostly angry at the fact that the club had not spent money in the transfer window and instead spent money on this. And, you know, it's a false equation, but nonetheless, they're pissed. And there's not a lot of Atleti fans that are going to be tromping across the ocean to watch Atletico anytime soon, I don't think. But nonetheless.
Yeah, but do they actually watch Atletico de San Luis anyways? Probably not. And
No, neither. I mean, talking about, yeah, they just don't care.
Exactly. It's not about the fans of Madrid. It's about creating new fans of Madrid that are not in Madrid. It's not fan service. It's probably the exact opposite. It's not made to be helpful for the local fans of Atletico Madrid, but it's not there. You know, create one star. And one thing that I think it's noticeable that Miguel Angel de Marin and David Klanikan mentioned in the press conferences, what if eventually there's one kid, you know, one player from the Ottawa region who makes it through Atletico Ottawa, and then he's noticed because he's part of this family of club, and now they're sending him over to train for the big club. And then Atletico Madrid notice him even more. I'm like, dude, he's good. So how about you stay here? And maybe we have someone producing players, Canadian players, that play internationally. Another pyramid. It's part of another pyramid. So that's the ultimate positive scenario, you're going to say. And that's the ultimate dream scenario of having, okay, let's Maxime Tissot come back in his career, come back here in Ottawa, this discovered by Atletico, comes back, plays a few games. You know, you never know. That's a utopian dream here, but that's kind of what it's all about.
When you're talking about the Tyler Adams model, right? You know, from a different multi-team.
Yeah, literally. Literally, yeah.
Yeah, and look, that is the ultimate goal. But as you know, the fact that there's one player that I mentioned, and there are two, you know, there are a couple clubs around the world, there are more than a couple clubs around the world where you can point to being part of these system of clubs, and really there's a limited amount of players that have made the move. And obviously I'm a fan of Manchester City, as if you don't know, I don't know if you, how you wouldn't know, but if you don't, I am. So I'm aware of what this format looks like. And really, right, as of it stands right now, that part of the equation has not really paid many dividends. I mean, how are you going to break through to a club like that? But I do think that there are other positives to it. You can have the possibility of, you mentioned going to train. Well, I think that onto its own, forget whether it leads to anything, is a positive for a young Canadian player. If there's three or four, you know, outstanding or promising young Canadian kids that have an opportunity to go on a 2-month training stint in the off season to Atletico Madrid, they're going to learn there. They're going to learn from being exposed to the best. If, you know, maybe over the course of 10 years, there's 20 of these kids that do that, maybe 10 of them are moved on to a different club that might not be Atletico Madrid. It might just be an MLS club or St. Louis, Atletico St. Louis, who knows? But there's a benefit to that. They're going up the pyramid because, you know, again, as we all know, the Canadian Premier League is not delusional about where it stands in the world's pecking order. It's a development league. And the whole purpose is to get these kids developed and onto better places, better leagues. And just having those resources behind one of the clubs in the league is beneficial. Having those eyes from that club on all of the other teams in the league is beneficial too, because, you know, maybe a kid from Pacific is going to stand out, and, you know, maybe they're going to look at Campbell next season and go, you know, well, what? He's right. Interesting.
I haven't thought about that. But by the bank, by having front office people in Madrid looking at a game of Atletico Ottawa, and you have maybe, let's use an example. I don't want to name names here for no reason. But let's
Campbell, like from Pacific, right?
Okay,
like
so the Campbell from Pacific plays and plays an amazing game and like really stands out and is noticed by Atletico Madrid because of Atletico Ottawa, and then maybe a trade happens in league. Maybe he becomes an Atletico Ottawa player, but part of the pyramid. But yeah, and maybe it comes from the higher ups in Madrid. But yeah, that's part of the dream also, and the benefit, I guess, of being part of a big family like Madrid. But speaking of benefit, there's also a counterpart to it. And quickly, I know you've been thinking about this in a long time, and you have your own personal opinion. Like you mentioned, you're a fan of Manchester City, and Manchester City does have a very wide array of investment and other teams as well, especially in other leagues like New York City FC, like Melbourne, and others.
There's five of them. I can't keep track of them anymore. But yeah.
Exactly. So it's almost too much to keep track. So what are the counterparts of having an affiliation or literally being part of the same ownership group as a team like Atletico Madrid?
Well, what are the negatives?
Yeah. If any, asking a question.
There are any other than maybe you lose a little of your local identity. I mean, you mentioned the logo briefly, and I think we all agree that it's a very pretty logo, very much in the line of what they did with St. Louis, where it has the local landmark on there. You know, we were saying off air that if it was Atleti Toronto, they would have the CN Tower in there. If it was Atleti Montreal, it would have been Mount Royal in the cross. If it was Atleti York, they would have had a car with purple lights underneath it.
Niagara Falls, you have like some sort of either the falls or like the casino tower. Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Okay, fine. Yeah. Whatever landmark. Oh, okay. Where is the Big Apple on the way to, you know, the restaurant that makes pies? You know,
maybe yeah,
that's,
yeah,
they have a team that they put
Colburn,
it out
on. Ontario, yeah.
Yeah, Colburn gets it.
That's Atletico Belleville, basically. It's in that area.
Atletico Belleville with a picture of the Trenton Air Force Base on it. Yeah, with some anyway, coronavirus.
Getting back to the point, I guess the one negative is you do maybe lose a little of that identity. And perhaps, you know, if you look at the Tyler Adams example, he isn't necessarily viewed as an asset for New York. He's viewed as an asset for Red Bull, and he's moved accordingly around the organization, first to Austria and then now to Leipzig, right? So it's maybe that's your disadvantage, but I don't know in the Canadian Premier League setting whether that is, because that's the purpose, is to move them up. So as long as they're moving up, I think fans might understand that. But I guess the from a local perspective, as I said, there was no blue, there it was blue, not black on the logo. It was absolutely Atleti's colors. At first, I thought it was black. That was just the fact that it was a weird TV screen we were looking at. But it was blue, and they'd lose that barbershop pole that they love so much. But I've heard a suggestion that maybe the second jersey, the away jersey, might have a much more of a wink towards the Ottawa's traditions to sort of play both sides of that card. So, you know,
well,
I don't think there's a lot of disadvantages. This is the bottom line, though.
The color pattern leads itself to a barbershop jersey just with the blue instead of the black.
Yeah, so something, and I, you know, it's, look, I know there are people out there that are still, they're traditionalists, and they want perfect worlds where there is a hyper-local scenario that creates this established team in the Ottawa region and every other region in this country, which has ties, deep ties back into the local soccer community. The reality is that is not happening. We had a year, 2 years, 3 years of searching for people across this country to invest in this league. And even with the success of the first year, even with the success of selling players like Tristan Borges for a significant amount of money, there still is a reluctance amongst Canadian investors to jump in with both feet into this league. So if we need to go to foreign investment to make these expansions happen, then so be it. The important thing is we're getting kids time to play, and we're getting, you know, our vision of the development league bigger and bigger and bigger and in more pockets of the country. So
absolutely. I agree with you. And also one part of it is the one part of our country where there's more than one language. This is the first team into a Francophone speaking area. Also, it's a bilingual area. It's Ottawa. It's our nation's capital. There's two official languages in Ontario. Yes. And in Ottawa. And it's the first Francophone team officially also. And I commend the Canadian Premier League and Arcadio Marcuse, who was hosted the press conference and the event afterwards, for his use of both languages in this press conference. And it's onwards and forward with French in the Canadian Premier League. And I commend Arcadio Marcuse and the Canadian Premier League in this case for their use of the language of Molière. But now, Dwayne, anything else you would like to add today in this breaking news audio? By the way, if you like what we're doing, this is going to be mostly available on Patreon. Usually, we wanted to do this for everyone on today's edition because it is a big news and we wanted to open it to everyone. But starting at $2 a month for a Two Solid Two Talker podcast and $5 a month for breaking news audio, which will be available on videos also for patrons only in the future. But as you can see, we love what we do and you can support us right here. But anything else you'd like to add today, Dwayne, on our breaking news audio edition?
Other than to follow up on what you just said, you know, with apologies to Winnipeg, where there is, we all understand, a significant French population there, they did not lean into it at all in their branding or their presentation. So it's kind of, it doesn't count. This was the first into what I would call, I mean, is Ottawa a French city? I would almost say it's a city where you expect French first before you expect English, from my experience being up there. I mean, you're not going to have any problems getting served in English, but it's absolutely a French city in many, many ways. And Gatineau, which is right across the river, is it's almost a twin city. It is in Quebec. It is. So,
and it's also, like you said, the workers of Ottawa are often from Gatineau. So, yeah, so that's where the working language, even though it is usually English mostly, you often have a very strong French presence in how people interact in a day-to-day operations, I guess, of your daily life, because of people are French also being going to Ottawa to work, there's people from everywhere, right? Because it is our nation's capital, the parliament where the government of Canada is, and also a lot of government agencies, both in French and English. And oftentimes for the Ontario government, you also have a French aspect to it, and you're usually in the Ottawa Gatineau region, which means a lot of French people speaking French.
It's not a bonjour, it's a bonjour hi city.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's very meta. People don't know that that's a big controversy in Quebec. Shouldn't, because we are actually in Quebec, a one language province, only French. So it's not well perceived when you work and you say bonjour hi, example, at a hotel or at a restaurant. The government will like you to say just bonjour, but the government is not necessarily supposed to tell you what to say. But that's another thing.
And the way to respond as an Anglophone is to go, bonjour, hello. And then everything goes on as normal at that point.
Exactly. Hypocrisy when you get you.
Anyways, but I think that's a very important aspect of this. And I did, I mean, I know for a fact from talking to people that there are plans to increase their French coverage. And that's an important consideration here. It's a fingernail into Quebec, maybe even a full toe into Quebec, and let's hope that that continues. And the rumors of Lyon perhaps being involved with the Quebec City team, or the Bunbury.
Yeah,
God, forgot who it was. Mr. Bunbury's role might increase. Patrice Bernier, who knows? Maybe Patrice has one going on too.
Well, he's assistant coach of Thierry Henry with the Impact, so I doubt it. But you know, you never know. But that leaves the table for this. A team in Quebec City would have quite a natural rivalry with Ottawa, with Atlético Ottawa, being not only the proximity of both these cities, but also the fact that federal versus provincial when it comes to governments in the Quebec City region. And yeah, it would be very interesting politically. Also, this may be a political derby, the 1995 derby or something, the 80-1995 derby. You can use that analogy if you want for that game.
Fair enough. It's maybe not get too political there. But
the referendum derby, exactly. Sure.
Oh boy!
why not? No, I'm obviously kidding.
50.2%.
That's you make sure that your first game you have 52% possession. You know, you keep track the entire game. Just anyways. What could it be?
As we make references to 1995. at any rate, yes, I get my last thought is I actually am intellectually very interested to see how this team gets built and how much Spanish influence there is in here. I'm a geek when it comes to this stuff. And as much as I understand the concerns people have with the foreign aspect of this, and no one wants another Chivas USA experience, I guess that would be Atleti Canada experience in this case. I do think it's interesting to see if they do in fact send 6 or 7 20-year-old Spanish kids over from developed areas, not necessarily from the bigger clubs, do they jump in and do they excel? And what's that say about the market? Do they jump in and not excel? And what's that say about our overall talent level?
Well, you know what
either
my question is?
Result for me.
Yeah. You know what my question is? Would be the same thing. Is the presence of these 6 players, example, that you just mentioned, does it make the rest of your team composed of Canadian better? Does it make your maybe position 7 to 11 on your roster, which are Canadian, does it make him better? Do they look at these 6 Spanish players and their work ethic and their technique, and do they catch on to something that they didn't know? Do they learn? Do they become better? Do they become part of the national team program because of it? And maybe that would actually be a benefit to Canadian soccer as a whole to have a Spanish influence, to be literally Spanish players playing here locally. So maybe there's that aspect to it too. It'll be interesting to see if it actually happens. Well, like you say, it's almost an experiment happening in front of us.
Exactly. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a quick build. They did suggest that they might struggle a little bit in the first half of the season, but from what I'm talking to people that know the talent pool, they have suggested that maybe there's enough out there still that they can be pretty competitive. First thing I'd be doing if I were Atletico Ottawa looking for the Canadian talent is obviously I'd talk to the Fury players that are still unsigned. But after that, I would be immediately driving east and then a little bit north once I hit Montreal into Blainville, and I would be seeing what they have left around there, because that might be a good place to start.
Yep, so you would take the 20 all the way to where you can merge to the 40, and then you take the 15, you go north, you get out in Blainville, and you go to the Parque Quest and you see what you can do. Maybe true. Those are good possibilities. And we'll continue to talk about Atletico Ottawa on our regular premium podcast, the flagship podcast of our premium feed, which is available at patreon.com, the Two Solid Two Soccer Podcast. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solid Dudes Soccer Podcast. $5 a month will give you access to the Breaking News Audio, which is part of, but this one is free for everyone to celebrate the venue, especially the adventure that Atletico, Ottawa, and Madrid are going on all together. Until next time, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larmé, and this show at Soccer Today SPN, at SportsPodNet. And until next time, we wish you, of course, a great soccer.